CITR 101.9 FM. This is the Inkstud Show, the radio show where we talk about what, boys?
Comic books.
Comics. Okay. Remember I said you got to be close to the mic?
Right.
There we go. Okay. There we go. Holla. Inkstuds, welcome to the second half of this week's show. My guest right now, Brendan Graham. James Stokoe.
Stokoe.
He actually hit me earlier for mispronouncing his name.
That's right.
And it really hurt. And Marley Zircone?
Yeah, that's
there we go. Who's far away from the mic.
I'm sorry.
There we go. No, I'm doing it too. That's a bad idea. Now, all three of you will be at the Heritage Hall of Vancouver Comic Stories Comic Con on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. This is true.
Brandon?
I was thinking about the awkward eye contact we were making. Yeah, we'll be there.
Yeah, this would be this is the time where you're glad there is no video for this. This is the ugliest group of folks you're gonna see in radio.
Oh, it's hard.
I dress pretty today.
Pants and everything.
That's true. He's come up to my place in pajamas before. It was very awkward.
I have matching top and bottom pajamas, a little monogram thing on the pocket.
That is amazing.
My girlfriend made it for me.
He likes to wear belly shirts so you can see his lower back tattoo.
Did Brandon show you the tramp stamp I saw yesterday?
No.
Oh yeah, it was a mix of the Wonder Woman logo with Batman and Superman. He sent it to me and we can't be friends anymore.
How about that one back tat we saw that was the Batman Forever Riddler question mark.
Full back tat. Oh.
Amazing.
Oh no. That is, are you serious?
It's permanent forever.
The Riddler. From Batman Forever.
Jim
Not
Carrey Riddler.
No, it was
Jim
Carrey. Question mark going into the bat signal.
Oh,
yeah,
he went there.
Tall too.
So I guess you have some comics, Marley. You've got something
comics
in the new Pop Gun.
I was in Pop Gun number 2, but I also have upcoming projects. I have a comic called Forgetless. It's coming out through Image. It's going to be a 9-issue miniseries, and that'll be out in December.
Eventually collected into a book.
Yes, of course. And I'm running backups in it. I'm also going to be running backups for an Elf and Men soon.
Oh, you got the...
Another comic that I'm not going to... Yeah.
Elephant Man seems to keep a lot of Vancouverites employed.
Oh, yeah. Wealthy benefactor Richard Starkings.
Thank you, Richard.
Rant.
And James, you have Wonton Soup books 1, A Space Trucker Cooking Opera, and book 2, Hyper Wonton Soup 2, 2-Ton Soup, The Quickening 2. Soup.
Mm-hmm.
And Brandon, what do you have?
I got King City is about to come out through Image and Tokyo Pop.
And Tokyo Pop.
Yeah, it's...
Now, for folks to know, all of you, you lived with them too, right, Marley,
yeah,
for a while?
I lived with, the whole collective for a year.
In a... How many bedrooms was in this apartment?
There was...
We had some bedrooms made out of parts of the basement. There was, at one point, there's a lot of people that came in and out, so it was hard to guess how many people were actually in it.
I think there was 9 was the most.
9 people.
It was a 3-story house or 2-story basement.
But it was officially like 6 people who originally started out, and then we just kind of started collecting people. Yeah, couches.
Collecting people.
Inhabited. And
you put them into Mylar bags.
Yeah. Pretty much.
I think one of our friends was actually sleeping next to the boiler. Yeah.
That was one of the best rooms in the place, actually. Yeah. It was really...
And by friends, you mean Brandon.
I had a room.
Yeah, Brandon.
It's right across from us. Mm. Yeah. James would sneak in there. Yeah. He didn't think I was, awake. It's all right.
And you guys are still friends. And now, that was in Seattle, and all of you are up in lovely Vancouver now.
Right, well, James got deported.
Yeah.
Hey, I wasn't going to go there, but I mean...
No, that's a good story.
No, it's okay.
No, we can talk about Batman back tattoos all night, but the meat of this.
We could talk... Do you want to talk about the deportation, James?
It was really just... I had a $75 money order in my wallet from, 3 years ago, and... They construed that I was working down there full time, so they just kicked me out for.
The money order was from Japan.
Yeah, it was from Japan.
You're stealing American jobs from Japanese money.
The next week after I got deported, the guy who wrote me that emailed me again, wanting more work from me.
dead too.
Well, that's good.
I told him he's dead to me, yes.
Aww. It's not his fault you left him.
Well, a little bit is, yeah. Just a taste.
Just a taste.
Yeah, it's his fault you don't clean out your wallet.
There we go. And Brandon, you're in Canada by choice.
Yeah, I came up here for your women and your comics.
And how are they?
They're good. You know, my lovely lady's book's about to come out, too.
That's right. Beasts.
Right, Beast through Image.
Or Beast.
Beast. The Beast. Beast.
The Beast, singular.
It is Beast, isn't it?
Beast.
Let's not get
really
caught up.
It's really impressive. It's like 150 pages, all kind of different what's it called? Sepia tones.
Okay. It's I've looked at the pages. They're quite nice. They're massive. I think they're like, what, 10 feet by 4 feet?
Galactus size, yes.
Yeah, Galactus sized. James, you're working on a Galactus piece right now?
Yeah, it's life-size Galactus.
It's life-size Galactus. So what kind of stuff are you guys going to have at the con? You're going to have your comics. You're going to be doing sketches.
Book show up.
Your book.
Because I guess the Chinese printer, the infants stapling together my comics were lazy or something.
Brandon!
Well.
Didn't we have a talk earlier?
I'm not going to say that word, but...
Kingsley, and the interesting thing for folks is that book, Tokyo Pop, they at one point stopped doing all these comics, and all these folks that were doing their comics were kind of jammed, and you were able to secure a new deal for your comic and be able to continue it with a new publisher.
I think of that as the proudest event of my life, because it took like 9 months of constant meetings and... Yeah, because, you know, I'm working on a book for a year, just kind of in this vacuum, just, you know, with the hope that it'll come out, and they just call me up one day and tell me that they're going to put all their creator-owned books, they're just going to stop doing them and put them out as web comics, and so I was like, oh, it's a year of my life is just going to go in the gutter, so I just called everyone I could possibly think of, and Image is really cool, and they got involved and agreed to talk to me, and it's amazing, because it's not like, you know, I'm going to bring any spawn money or anything for him.
No. No, you're not.
Oh.
Your comics are too good.
You're nice to say so. But, you know, and I had all this, like, 90s, like, Image feelings about them, so it's weird for me to kind of turn that around and be like, oh, I like these guys that, you know, did foil cover comics and...
I don't know if they did the foil cover. They did the variant covers.
Yeah, variant covers.
They were the variant covers.
Yeah, so it's weird. It's like, I haven't got over McFarlane yet. I'm still carrying that rage, but...
Did he touch you wrong?
Yeah. Well, you know, he touched comics wrong.
There we go. Now, James, your wonton soup 2, hyper wonton soup 2, two-ton soup, the quickening 2 soup, that just came out, what, like a month ago?
2 months ago, I think.
2 months ago? Like it's a recent release.
Yeah.
Now... I've read both of them, and it's interesting. The second one, it seems like you've let go, and you're just having more fun now.
Well, you know, it's like slipping into a warm bath. It's really good.
Yeah, at first it's...
it's a little hot at first, but then you get your toes in, get up to your kneecaps, and it's all good.
It's all good. What changed for because there are very different books. I mean, the one, it felt more like you had a cohesive plot line.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean this in the most flattering way. The second one, it's more about just crazy shit happening.
Well, yeah. That's pretty much it.
I just think he stopped caring.
Yeah, I think that's basically it,
too. I've kind of felt it was the opposite. I thought you were having more fun with the comic.
Well, yeah, that's it. Kind of just realizing that, like...
Yeah, I just drew a 2-page comic about a dolphin surgeon, so I don't think I really care anymore.
I think that's James' greatest strength, is that he just is completely just doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the sex bear. And I've been bringing this up a lot, and it's one of the most fascinating characters.
You call your mom up in there? Mom, turn page 42, we got a sex bear.
Should probably explain what the sex bear is.
Yes, tell us about the sex bear. And listener discretion be advised.
The sex bear in Wonton 2 is... It's part of the character Deacon's backstory, where he inherits a sex farm from his uncle, and in the silo on his farm, he discovers a bear with a paper bag strung up from his ceiling, covered in tits. And he must unlock the secret of the sex bear to produce sex milk, which is a powerful drug aphrodisiac that they use in the crazy future. So it's a love story, basically.
It's very tender.
It is surprisingly touching.
I know.
It is. It's tragic. It is very tragic.
It hurt. It took a lot out of me.
I will say, a couple of tears.
It's a little sex tears, yeah.
Oh, I feel awkward now.
But the interesting thing about James that I always like to talk about is how many comics he's done now that haven't seen print, because he's got these two books out and you'd think he'd be working on like just the next one, but he's got 5-6 finished graphic novels that he's just like sitting on.
Literally what? Sitting on.
He just doesn't give a fuck. It's like when it's time to publish a book, it's like the hard thing for him is like scanning them and sending them to the publisher, but he's constantly like, how many pages do you do a week?
I don't know.
Depends. Doesn't give a fuck.
I don't care.
Come on, let us know. How many pages?
We almost had a nightmare with our PC almost crashed on us when I did a recent update, and it didn't take. And he has all of his colored pages that have not seen print in full resolution, whatever.
Fully rendered.
Yeah, and basically books on that computer, and I just almost died. That was it. He would have lost like 3 or 4 books that were just sitting on the computer. Yep.
Back up.
Oh, and yeah, they're backed up. Yeah.
Well, tell us about some of the other projects you've been working on. What will we see? What will see the light of day? What do you care about?
Oh, God. I don't know.
What do you love?
What do I love?
What do you hate?
Dolphin Surgeon?
I don't know if I'm going to do much more than that.
Does much more need to be said than that? Maybe let's tell people about your odd obsession with Steve Rolston and the Dolphin Surgeon. Like, it's kind of awkward. Like, the two of you guys, like, you have this weird love relationship for dolphins.
He's a gentleman scholar, Steve Rolston.
Yeah, he's just a sincerely nice guy who's hardworking and just, you know, he's a pleasure to be around, and it's infectious. And, you know, people in comics are horrible, horrible people.
Under that mustache is a smile.
Yeah.
A very large smile.
It's just, you know, it's rare and beautiful.
It's a very, very large mustache.
You know, I mean, you know, it's an industry where it attracts indoor kids. And so, like, a lot of times, the social skills aren't everything. And he's a sociable human being, and he's touched us.
Literally.
It's not good. Todd McFarlane.
We're discussing how Steve is like our mascot now, because I just put him in my comic, and the next King City, I just threw some Rolston facial hair in there.
He's got a really good face for a mascot, I must say.
He's quite identifiable. You know, it is Rolston. You see it from a distance, and you know it's a Rolston. So, Dolphin Surgeon. Tell us about Dolphin Surgeon.
Well, it's basically the most important character of the 20th century.
Hey, James?
21st century. Sorry.
There we go.
Well, he went back in time, and he's important back then, too. But Steve Rolston drew this dolphin on a cell phone for some...
It was like a children's book.
Children's science book or something. And I just fell in love with this dolphin because it was just... He must have been talking to a 14-year-old child on this phone. It was just this evil, horrible-looking dolphin. But he just looks so nice and happy at the same time.
It was drawn with such sincerity.
Sincerity and smugness.
And smugness.
It's a smug,
and
happy
I just had to
dolphin.
Take this dolphin and use my mind's eye and just pervert it and make him into this selfish dolphin surgeon.
That's just a terrible thing.
So is fudge into his patients and... skateboards on wheelchair patients down the halls of the hospital.
One thing that James was saying that I thought was interesting is when he was drawing it, he was like, he was talking about how he might actually just lose respect for a publisher that decided to find this book.
I want to see the 500-page Dolphin Surgeon epic.
The selfish dolphin surgeon's omnibuses.
But the cool thing that I like a lot about James, I'll show up at his house sometimes, and he'll just, like right now he's drawing a Silver Surfer Galactus comic, and it's like, Marvel doesn't talk to him. It's just, he's just doing, he did a Godzilla, full-color, like, 10-page Godzilla thing last year, and it's just, like, he's just doing comics in this total vacuum. Like, one of the things that's hardest for me is, like, trying to forget that anyone reads this stuff and just draw it and not think about it, and just, you know, he's missing that part of his brain, which I like.
I do stuff like that when I just need to cool down from job stuff, too, so.
When you just need to chillax.
Just chillax.
I'm gonna do a quick song break, and we'll be right back. Inkstead, CITR, 101.9 FM. CITR 101.9 FM. I have to give a shout out to our poor friend, Lars Brown, who was going to be joining us today to discuss his epic comic, Northworld, from Oni Press. Lars, we miss you. We wish you were here. We love you. And not in that awkward Todd McFarlane kind of way.
He only loves money. Delicious green money.
Many. Lars, as well as everyone that's sitting across the table from me here, will be at Vancouver's Comic Stories Heritage Hall Comic Convention on Sunday from 11 till 5. And maybe I should actually bring up the list of
there's some cool people
who's going to be there.
I just found out Justin Mort at Norman is going covert.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, how is he going to be covert? No one cares about him in Vancouver.
Oh, don't be mean to Justin.
Yeah, he's our baby daddy.
I
like Justin. It's just, you know, how what's the point of covert? I don't get it.
Well, I think he hates conventions, but likes hanging out with his friends at comic book events. You know, they're stressful events.
So he's not going to actually have a table. He's just going to come and drink.
Yeah, you know, he'll hang out with us. He'll be around. The list for the con is really cool.
We got Kate Beaton, who was just on for the first 45 minutes.
Fine historical comics.
We got fine historical comics. Lars Brown, who is late.
He draws comics, too.
What?
He draws comics, too.
He draws comics. He's also in the new Side B, the Music Lovers comic anthology, which you did a, Mr. Brandon, you did a strip, the introduction for.
Yeah, introduction strip.
There we go.
It's always kind of embarrassing when somebody asks you to do like an introduction thing for something and you read it and there's a bunch of comics and you feel like, I felt kind of guilty, like I had to draw a comic rather than just like write a little bit of just type for a little bit.
Yeah. I like that kind of introduction more.
Is that the one with the cat plug in it?
Yeah. Where I drew my girlfriend plugging a headset into a cat's anus.
Imagine if you did that to my cat. She would kill you.
She's a murderer.
Robin's cat is named after Charles Bukowski and hates me.
tell people what my cat did to you guys.
We were all admiring the leather-bound volumes of a comic
Scroll
book.
Of Scroll the, Kill Crew.
Yes. and this cat, we would try and look at her at the corner of her eye and she'd just come over and slap us. And it would go one at a time and we would try and not look at her and try and avoid her and she'd just come over and perch and just slap us.
Oh yeah, we were watching Hellraiser and the cat was trying to murder. Oh, this is a good time to bring up James' secret desire he was talking about. Sorry to cut you off, Marley, but James loves the idea and wants it more than anything to be a cat with human hands.
Oh god, that's my birthday present. Genetic splicing so I can become a cat with human hands.
I keep telling him that it won't change his obligations to still have to draw comics.
I don't know. Like, there's something endearing about the paws that will just slap the shit out of you.
It's things wants to be gross.
Just gross, meaty baby hands. Slapping fish sticks out of people's mouths.
The whole, you know, cats just lie around all day. They wander in and out, do whatever they want. Well, you know, this would cut out the whole petting, the awkward, you know, human comes over and shows you affection. If you had creepy hands, then nobody would pay attention to you.
So grabby baby hands.
Everybody would leave you alone and be afraid of you, but and you could just
I don't think he's. I think the only thing different would be...
And he wouldn't have to do anything.
He would just, like, not have to wear pants when people come over. That's really
worth
the only...
it, though.
Either way.
Does it... And that stops you now?
Fall.
You wear pants when people come over?
My lower half. It's not...
It's not pretty?
No.
That's too bad.
Scabby mess. Marley.
Sorry to bring that up.
All right. We just got into the awkward territory. Okay. So other people that will be there on Sunday is Lars, as we just mentioned, David Boswell, the always fantastic creator of Reed Fleming, World's Toughest Milkman.
Oh, yeah.
Joseph Gilad. I have no idea who he is. Elemental Magic.
I don't know.
Brandon Graham.
It's a bum.
James Stokwa.
James cat with baby hands.
Marion Churchland.
All right, she's pretty.
How
dare you.
Steve Rolston, our good friend and maker of Dolphins. Vern Andrew, Stephanie Blakely, Blakey, I should say, Ken Bozum, the wonderful Robin Bougie.
Bougie.
Sex banded bougie.
The people love bougie.
Who doesn't love a bougie?
Nobody. No one.
No.
We should have a moment of silence for that.
Jesse David, Kelly Everhart, Susan Ferguson, Adriel Forsyth, Darcy Frederick, Trevor Frick, Gabriel Frazira, Sarah Haxby, Ira Hunter, Mary Karaplis, Donald King, Don King, the world's most miserable man at RX Comics. if you go there and you see Don, bring up Love and Rockets. See what happens.
I don't believe... See, whenever anyone talks about not liking that... See, because me and you get into huge debates always because of...
We're both dorks.
Yeah, and we're dorks on the different side of the, you know... We park our
you park your dorks in the dorking lot.
We're on different sides of the dorking lot. And, like, I feel like Love and Rockets is one of those universal books that usually... It's hard not to... I feel like people haven't read it.
It's a gateway book for a lot of people.
Yeah, and I like the nerdy early stuff when they were still, like, fixing robots and dinosaurs, but...
It's all good stuff. And...
Is it Jamie Hernandez?
Huh?
Oh, the Jamie Hernandez.
Hi.
Jaime. Other folks will be there. James Lloyd, whose mini comics are fantastic, and I think you should buy all of them. Carrie McKay, Josue Menavar, Mike Meyer, Simon Roy, who you really loved his book, Yan's Atomic Heart.
It was really impressive.
It's really awesome.
There's been some really impressive, like, new artists showing up lately.
In Vancouver especially.
Yeah, Vancouver is like... I really like the comic scene in this town. I always used to complain. When I lived in Seattle, it was just like grim, horrible place to be doing comics.
That's because everyone was waiting for Pete Bagg to come and hang out, and he never would.
I saw him once. In my entire childhood and life living there, I saw him once during a Scott McCloud talk, and he sat next to me, and I was very excited. But
and you're probably twice his size.
Oh, easily, yeah.
Robin Thompson, Steven Snyder, Jason Turner, Critical Hit Comics, and our good friends at New Reliable Press.
Fine gentlemen.
Just don't be mean to Ed, or he'll cry. I don't know. So you got some other projects working on. James alluded to some stuff, or you alluded to James having other projects he's working on.
Oh yeah, I feel obligated to discuss all of James' projects. He's going to hold out on you people.
You were blowing me pretty hard last time, so it's your turn.
And then we came to the radio show, and I talked about how I liked you. Workstain is the thing that James is working on that I'm excited about. It's like, you're talking about Image about doing it monthly, right?
Yeah. It's about orcs, and it's like a fantasy thing. And... I don't even know how to explain it, really. It's just...
One thing that I thought was interesting is our friend Sheldon Vella, who does Supertron on Zuda, and he was doing, like Warhammer stuff with orcs, yeah. and he was told that orcs don't have penises. And
oh, yeah?
I don't know if James' comic was a reaction, but it's basically like a penis-themed orc comic.
Mm-hmm. How could you know?
How could you know if an orc had a penis? Let me show him a lady orc.
Orc.
And Lars is in the studio. Oh, there he is.
About time.
Yay! Come in, Lars. There we go. Ends wow. Rap. He's joining
let me
us.
Breathe into the mic.
What's up, buddy?
There we go. He has made it all the way from
Portland
this morning. That was 6 hours of driving. We'll just have a couple seconds here. I'm gonna just play a song while everyone gets situated. There we go.
This is a song about a superhero named Tony. It's called Tony's Thing. Yeah.
All right, we're back. Thank you, Lars, for making it all the way from America. He drove all the way up here specifically to come join us in the show. Coming all the way from Portland this morning.
I woke up early. I was going to have enough time, and then I went to Voodoo Donuts, and I ended up being late.
What kind of donut did you have?
I had a little plain one, but I also had one that had some Captain Crunch on it. But the problem with eating like the Captain Crunch berries on a donut is like they make it a couple hours ago, and so they're stale, like the cereal pieces. It's like, eh. But yeah, it was tasty. It's the experience. Mostly.
I don't know if I like cereal. I haven't had it on my donuts, but I don't know if I want it on my donuts. Why?
Just cut loose.
Why change something that's already perfect?
I'm actually a little bit morally outraged by that.
Yeah.
Cereal on your donuts?
Yeah, the frosting.
Or my disgust.
They made the frosting taste a little like, kind of like sweet milk almost.
Right.
Sweet milk.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it wasn't the really sugary.
That's why it's about milk again.
I'll stay away from what I'm thinking about.
It's just an embarrassing like attempt at like packaging your donut like it's your cereal. You know, you're a cop. You've been at a stakeout. You want to just have a donut.
Yeah. Well, you're thinking about this is Portland, so this is all the the hipster people and everything. All
skinny jeans and
skinny jeans. Donuts. Worshipping Kenny Rogers.
Yeah.
Terminator 2 arcade pinball in there.
Oh, all right. Now we're talking.
Yeah, I played some Terminator 2 pinball.
I saw the fourth Terminator movie. I like watching shit blow up.
I was really into the TV series.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. I'm sorry.
See, the fourth movie made me mad because it doesn't really... I'm not really settled on whether man can defeat machines. They didn't really... You know, they ended it to have more of those movies.
I'm more the other way around, because machines are really dumb.
But, man only seems to have bullets in the fourth movie. Mm. Like, they had lasers, at least, in the second
one. That's
true. I think it's just because it's in light of our recent computer crash problems that we feel that, you know, it just wouldn't work. They would blue screen at some point, you know? Skynet would crash.
You've been downloading too much porn on Skynet.
You did not perform your update correctly.
Apparently, that guy, Peter Molyneux, the guy who made Fables, the video game, he apparently unveiled this new thing. It's like a virtual British boy.
Oh, I've seen that. It's creepy.
I like heard about
it. Is he a chicken hawk? What is that?
Apparently, you can help him with his homework. On your Xbox?
Why would I want to? Why would I want to go and play video games and help? I want to blow shit up.
British boy.
Yeah.
At your little Hogwarts. Maybe you're
okay. I'm going to change the subject.
North World.
Lars. We've already talked about a little bit about. Did you play lots of Dungeons and Dragons as a boy?
I've never played.
Nerd.
I know. Horrible admission. I've got like a little. In the first volume, there's like Conrad has like clearly like a character sheet. He's got like stats on there and everything.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. I was like, "What's your favorite die?"
Chrono Trigger. Super Nintendo.
we're living in the age of video games now, so you don't have to sit and be a nerd.
I didn't have to be with anybody. I just played it by myself, alone in my room.
Zelda.
I really like the Zelda on Super Nintendo. That's definitely a big thing.
Is that one where you can beat up on the chickens?
I think that's the... Maybe. Yeah, you can. You can do it on Super Nintendo, too.
Really?
No, I think it's the one on the N64.
No, it's on... I've done it.
I know what you're talking about. It's the one where the chickens gang up when you're right.
Yeah, they do that in 64, too.
Yeah.
I didn't like that 64 so much.
Brandon's killing himself.
Because it got 3D. I don't know. I liked the 2D look.
Do I have to turn your mic off, Brandon?
Well, no, it's cool.
You're too old for this job.
How about the Zelda movie, right? Although, have you seen the old Zelda manga that was drawn by the guy that's Cyborg really cool. 009?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Am I the only one here that doesn't like manga?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they said we're on different sides of the nerd dungeon.
Yeah. No, Brandon and I, when we talk about comics, I think the only thing we can actually agree on is Mazzucchelli.
There's other things.
I was looking at Mazzucchelli as Asterios? Polyp?
Polyp?
Yeah. See, I maintain he's really good, but it's also really pretentious.
It is really pretentious. Like, but I was reading through it. I read through the first chapter. I was staying at my friend Les McLean's house last night in Portland.
Just to drop that name there?
Yeah, well, he had the book. I don't know, whatever that means. but yeah, he was explaining it to me, and then I looked through it. And when he was explaining it to me, it sounded more pretentious. When I was reading through it, it does it pretty well. I think he introduces those elements pretty seamlessly. I don't know.
Now, stepping away from pretentiousness, even though you never North played World Dungeons and Dragons. So maybe this is veering on pretentiousness. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Huh?
No, you're not you must have read some fantasy books.
Oh, yeah. 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 No, Lord of the Rings. Although bigger for me was Clifford D. Symak's fantasy books, because they were so, yeah, no.
I have no idea.
I always thought you were a Narnia man.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Narnia. Narnia and Redwall, but also Clifford D. Symak, because they had just really weird ones. Like, I think the second one, they have some, like, they have, like, another gospel about Jesus, basically, and they're going through this, like, post-apocalyptic but fantasy-inspired England. And at the end, I think he, like, takes out, like, the notes about Jesus, and he, like, blows these space demons away. It just explodes them. I don't know. So it's, yeah, I mean, that was just so weird. It was like, this is awesome.
I can't take your kids anywhere.
Yeah, no, Narnia was super big for me. That was, like, the first thing that really got me interested in writing.
Now, Northworld, is that one of your first comic projects?
Well, it's my first published graphic novel, yeah. I've done a lot of short stories for different anthologies, and when I was in...
I mentioned earlier the Side B. Which is I really like that story you did in there.
Oh, thank
it's
you.
Actually one of my favorites.
Yeah, two pages, book. My little two-page thing.
No, it was really nice, though. It was really concise, and it wasn't, yeah, like...
Based on a real story, I was just wandering through Japan. I'm like, are those drums?
I like you didn't try to be, like... You didn't try to kind of convince people of your musical taste. It was kind of like you experiencing this new thing.
Yeah. And I wrote in there, like, I'm in Japan looking for a Japanese girlfriend.
Right. Well, that's obviously worked out.
Oops.
Yeah. Should we mention that he has his wife there?
Yes. Yeah.
Hello.
Awkward.
She helps in my comics.
Yeah.
She letters my book. Well, she letters my book sometimes.
That's good.
I was talking about this weird, embarrassing lifestyle of being a comic book artist and how important, how many... The kind of the couple aspect of it, because it's weird because I've kind of fallen into this thing where, you know, me and my girlfriend both do comics, and then we go hang out with James and Marley, who both do comics, and
Tupperware parties.
Yeah. We have almost similar schedules. I don't know if you guys do this, but like, you guys will have different sleeping patterns, just like we will. Like, I'll wake up, I'll do my shift at the table, and then I'll go to bed, and then he'll wake up. So it's as small amount of time that we spend together as possible.
Just the way I like it.
One table, no eye contact.
Becky Cloonan and Vasilis Lolos draw on the same table.
That's insane.
Really?
Yeah, which would drive me insane.
Oh, I'd kill him.
Like, rubbing each other's backs. Like, just kind of
me
backs.
And my girlfriend draw in different rooms.
Yeah, see, that's and you guys specifically needed a place where you could have separate rooms to draw in.
Yeah.
Like, she would not move until...
Well, she's like a fine gentleman, and I'm a bum, so...
It's true. Like, you go into living rooms, it's really nice, lots of books, really nice tables, really nice furniture. You go into Brandon's room, and it's like this... really. There's like this wall of porn and boxes of comics on the floor and just paper strewn everywhere. His mascot costume...
When we all lived together in the same house, we all had kind of like the Yosh house. Like, we had the commune, like, everybody drew in the same room. And Brandon would be in the corner, and we'd watch. Like, every now and then we'd kind of sort of stuff into one corner, and then slowly it would migrate its way across the room, just piles of comics and papers and just... Buttman magazine, Vita Guerrera pictures on my wall for some reason.
Like when I visited the Yosh House the first time, when I met all these guys, I was drawing at Brandon's table when he wasn't there. I pushed some King City pages out of the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
he shows
get rid
up,
of that crap.
He's towering over me. It's like, ah, hi.
Let's reclaim the spot.
Watch out for those guns. Mm-hmm. Guns of steel.
Covered in 50 pounds of flesh, though.
Aww.
Now, how long is... since we haven't talked about Northworld at all.
I guess we haven't.
It's you come all the way up here so we can talk about guns.
I'm going to drive back after this, yeah.
You're just going to leave. You're going to go all the way.
I'm back smoking out.
Tell us a little bit about Northworld. Let's jump into it for the last 3 minutes that we have left.
yes. It's a modern-day fantasy story, so it's, you know, dude with a button-up shirt and a sword fighting a giant bear at the beginning of the story, and... And then he has to go and fight a demon in his hometown, same time as his ex-girlfriend's wedding. I've said this pitch a million times to people. But that's the first story. But generally, like, I just kind of wanted to make my own fantasy world. And so the first story is 2 volumes, and I'm almost done with the third volume, which is going to be 10 short stories. And just a bunch of different characters doing a bunch of different things. Trying to look at, you know, I guess the sort of the idea of Northworld is like, what if the Vikings conquered, like, settled America before anyone else? So it's just like life kind of goes in a different direction from there. You know, everyone's so living by the sword. I guess there's magic too, so whatever.
Yeah, because you know.
But yeah, I don't know. It's like, you know, what do you do when you could go get a job as an accountant or work at a cafe, and or you could go into the woods and fight giant bears. Giant bears.
I like the giant bears. It's is it kind of a stand-in for you, Conrad, the main character?
No, the bear is.
The bear is. All right. I'll explain to you what bears mean in Vancouver a little later.
The only similarities with me and Conrad is when I was making the story, when I was coming up with it, I was in, I was living in Japan, and I was actually, I was thinking of, like, making a story where the character returns, basically, to a place. So Conrad is returning to Cordu Lock, and I was returning to Coeur d'Alene. So it kind of overlaps there, but I didn't have to deal with any ex-girlfriends, or really, or my dad forcing me to be an accountant, or giant bears.
There we go. No giant bear protecting you?
No.
No. I'd like
to. So you've read it?
I have.
Awesome.
See,
did you
I've
read
got
the whole thing?
I read these two books.
Okay, good.
Is that?
Yeah.
That's all there is.
There's some short stories.
I had to borrow it off Brandon. I don't have copies. Thank you, Brandon. What are you going to have at the comic convention on Sunday?
Northworld.
Northworld. You also have some minis?
No. I'm
no?
Not minis.
He's got his warm body.
I like doing mini comics, but I'm kind of moving more towards just doing long stories.
And your stuff, people can see it online at Lars Brown.
North-world.com.
North-world.com.
Yeah.
Brandon, Royal Boiler.
livejournal.com. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. James Stuqua.
I've gone dark.
I don't have any.
If you want to see stuff by James, go to royalboiler.livejournal.com.
Go to James Stoka's house.
Yeah, go to my house.
Just show up.
And Marley's been putting stuff on the internet again.
Yeah, I'm at Short Fury.
It looks very nice.
deviantart.com.
Awesome. It looks very nice, by the way.
Thank you.
I was interrupting your DeviantArt address.
All of these will be listed on inkstuds.com. Thank you all for coming in today.
Thank you.
And any last words, Brandon?
So many. Can I have my dog back now?
No.
My nightmare.
I told you, my cat killed it.
On this heart of mine, I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds, because you're mine. I walk the line. I find it very, very easy to be true. I find myself alone when each day's through. Yes, I'll admit that I'm a fool for you, because you're mine. I walk the line. As sure as night is dark and day is light, I keep you on my mind both day and night. And happiness I've known proves that it's right, because you're mine. I walk the line. You've got a way to keep me on your side. You give me cause for love that I can't hide. For you I know I'd even try to turn the tide, because you're mine. I walk the line.